In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. We weren't slaves. No chance. We had come to this land of our own choosing. And in fact, it was our great forefather who had developed and turned this land into its greatness, who had developed this civilization and taken it to new heights, saving all of the people around in times of great famine. No, we weren't slaves. And so when that Moses guy first showed up and insisted that we needed liberation, we didn't want anything to do with him. He came in, inserted himself into our business, killed one of our bosses, and then expected us to listen to him. We were thinking, what? You here to kill us too? And he disappeared for years. But then he resurfaced again, and we still weren't interested in listening. Yes, our situation was difficult at times. No, our government wasn't perfect. No, our civilization had a lot of flaws with it. But come on, Moses, leave. But he insisted, just come with me a 3 days journey into the wilderness. We'll just take a vacation. 3 days out, 3 days back. A week off. What's the worst that could happen? And so he said, okay, fine. Go ask Pharaoh if we can have a vacation. And so he went to Pharaoh. And he said, we're leaving. 3 days out, we want to worship our God in the wilderness. And the Pharaoh laughed at him. Are you kidding? You lazy people. You want to leave? No, you're obviously not busy enough. You need to be doing more. See, you're not thinking about this religious stuff, this God stuff, about another way of life. Absolutely not. Your work will be increased. You will have to work more. We will not even provide the straw. And the same quotas will have to be met day after day. As you can imagine, we were furious with Moses. Great, Moses, your little idea of a vacation in the wilderness has really blown up in our faces. Now our lives really are more miserable. Thanks. Get out of here, Moses. We don't want to listen to you anymore or your so-called God. But Moses kept pushing and insisting that we were slaves. And we had always been slaves. For 430 years, he was insisting we had been slaves. And we said, no, we are free. We are citizens of Egypt. This is our great country, our government and civilization that our forefather Joseph helped establish. We're not slaves. We are the land of the free. But he pushed. And he kept going to Pharaoh and insisting that he let us go. And his demands increased. No, we will leave and we will never come back. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at every turn. And that's when things started to collapse. It started with the very foundation and lifeblood of our very world. The Nile turned to blood. And when the Nile collapsed, the whole ecosystem began to collapse. The frogs, the lice, the insects no longer had a healthy habitat, and so they swarmed all over into our lives, and we were miserable. But at every turn, Pharaoh kept insisting, we're not doing anything wrong. What we are doing here is great and amazing. You are ridiculous to insist that the way we live is wrong. And it kept coming. After the insects began to swarm, it was then that the diseases began to take over us. The creatures that had left their healthy habitat and had swarmed all around us now started infecting us with viruses and diseases, painful diseases. Animals were dying. People were getting terribly sick. But Pharaoh wouldn't listen. And then the climate started to change and shift, and the storms started to rage. And then locusts started to rage, and all of our crops and all of our land that was providing us with food started to be destroyed. But still, the Pharaoh insisted, we can recover from this. We've been through worse.
And then the darkness came upon the land. The sun god, Ra, was the greatest god of Egypt. The Egyptians looked to the sun as the source of all life and power and existence. And so when the very sun went dark, Egypt was terrified, scared that its powers, its authorities, its very civilization was starting to collapse. But Pharaoh wouldn't budge. And so Moses told him one final time, if you do not relent, death, the angel of death will come upon you and upon your land. But Pharaoh would not back down. And so the Lord, through Moses, told us that we needed to separate ourselves from this civilization of Egypt. That God was going to set us free. And at this point, we didn't want to be in Egypt anymore. It was a disaster. Whether we really believed that we were slaves or not didn't matter. We didn't want to be in this collapsing society, culture, and civilization. So we said, yes, Moses, we'll go with you. Tell us what we should do. And Moses said, mark your doors with the blood of your own sacrifices. Your self-sacrifice of your own. Mark your doors with that. And the angel of death will pass you by. And then he woke us in the middle of the night. And the Egyptians were confused, sad, angry, and terrified. Their firstborn children lay dead. Their firstborn animals were dead. And Pharaoh had said to Moses, I never want to see you again. Get out. So we got up, and the Egyptians were so happy to see us leave, they said, take anything you want, please just leave. We never want to see you again. You are a curse upon this civilization. And so we walked with the wealth of Egypt out into the wilderness. And we began to camp, but we got nervous. Because people were suspecting that Pharaoh, who had always changed his mind, might change it again, and they were right. And the first scout came back and said, he's coming. His whole army, every chariot, every cavalry is charging against us from the whole land and country of Egypt, and they are going to wipe us off the face of the earth. And we yelled and screamed at Moses is God, yelled and screamed at Moses and said, what have you done? Why couldn't you just let us die in Egypt, even if we were slaves? And we don't really even believe that. Why did you have to bring us out here to die and suffer in the wilderness? Do you hate us that much? What was your purpose? But Moses said to the people, stand your ground. Stand your ground. God is going to be with you. The Lord brought you out by his own arm, his own hand. He will complete what he started. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord is on your side. Stand down. Be still. Be at peace. But get moving, because you need to follow him where he's going to lead you. And that night, the angel of the Lord and the pillar of cloud and smoke that had been protecting us in the front as we had journeyed into the wilderness moved to the rear of our camp. And the goosebumps rose across our bodies as we realized that the Lord was standing between us and Egypt and the violence and the hatred of Pharaoh. And for the first time, we began to trust that maybe, God was going to truly deliver us into something more beautiful than we had ever known. And Moses that evening raised his arms with his staff, and a great wind began to blow. The sea, the impenetrable sea that was on one side of us, split in two. And we began to follow the Lord into the dry land, the path that he had created through the chaos of the world that seemed unconquerable. Impenetrable. There we began to walk in a way that the Lord had created where it looked like there was no way forward. And the protection of the walls of water on the right and the left brought us comfort, that we were in the shelter of the Lord. But then the chariots of Pharaoh were going to follow us. And we were terrified that we would just get to the other side and they would kill us once again. But the Lord said, no, I will confuse them. Their chariots will get stuck in the mud and they will be drowned forever. And the waters of the sea collapsed upon the armies of Pharaoh. And we were protected on our way out. And there on the other side, we sang a song to the Lord. This Lord that we barely knew. One that we heard that our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had worshipped, but one that we had forgotten. And we wanted to learn more about this Lord who would fight for his people and save them from slavery. We too probably insist that we aren't slaves. No chance. We live in the land of the free. We built this land. Our forefathers built this land on values and virtues that we believe to be excellent. No way could we possibly be slaves. But the reality of the message of Jesus is that all people, as we heard in Romans, are slaves. We are slaves. Every country, every nation, every civilization, every government, all the same. None know God. None listen to Him. None are righteous. We are slaves, whether we realize it or not. And it is the call of Jesus to awaken our hearts to the reality of our slavery. To realize that the civilization that we live within is one giant dead end. It will collapse. The pattern set in Egypt is the pattern that unfolds in every civilization, every generation to come. The symbolism of the plagues in Egypt are astonishing. It begins when the blood flows into the rivers. The blood symbolic of the violence of civilization. The violence that destroys the healthy habitats and ecosystems that God has created. When humans destroy the forests, the wetlands, the mountains that God had created, it begins. The bloodshed leads to the insects leaving their healthy habitats, swarming upon us. Diseases follow that ravage our bodies and those of our livestock. Storms begin as climate begins to change and shift. Swarms of locusts and bugs eat our crops. Our food system starts to collapse, and the darkness comes upon our powers and authorities, the governments of our civilization, and we begin to realize that everything that we've built is just teetering a house of cards. Death is the final end of civilization. Its bloodshed that fills the rivers always leads to death, the angel of death coming to destroy those who thought they were in charge, thought that they were powerful, thought that they were wealthy. And it is only those who mark their lives and their houses with the blood of self-sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, which is embodied ultimately in Jesus, who sheds his own blood, not the blood of his enemies, sheds his own blood out of love. If we are marked with the blood of self-sacrifice of Jesus, a different way of life, the Lord promises these plagues will pass over us. It will not be easy, but the Lord will make a way, an impossible way, out of civilization into a new way of life, of worshiping Him, of following Him, of listening to Him and no longer to the authorities of humanity. This is the great call. if we but trust that the Lord will fight for us, that the Lord has our best interests in mind, that the Lord actually knows what he's talking about when he tells us this day we are slaves in this nation, in this culture, in this civilization. All peoples, all nations under the same bondage of decay and death and violence and bloodshed. Our rivers run full of blood, the blood of the forests that we destroy, the blood of the British that we ousted, the blood of police, the blood of protesters, the blood of those black and white, rich and poor. The blood runs, and the collapse is coming. So let us mark our lives with a different blood. The love of our enemies, the blood of Jesus, the blood of his self-sacrifice, to follow a new way. That the Lord is here to set us free. Not in the way that nations define it, but in the way that he reveals in his Son, Jesus. So be still. The Lord will fight for you. But get moving, because he's leading the way to his new creation. Amen.